Dish from Waitrose is an SE Creative Studio production.
Clarence Court is home to Britain's widest collection of free-range eggs since 1928. Our traditional heritage birds produce a distinctively rich and iconic yolk that takes home cooking from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Loved by chefs and favoured by foodies, each shell is stamped with its own royal crown. It's time for you to discover the wonderful world of fabulous eggs by fabulous birds. Clarence Court.
This podcast may contain some strong language and adult themes. Oh, hello, and welcome to Dish from Waitrose. I'm Nick Grimshaw.
And I'm Angela Hartnett.
Hi, Angela Hartnett.
Hello, Nicholas Grimshaw.
How are we?
Very well, thanks. And you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm all right. Yeah.
Good, good. You've done your hair differently.
Yeah?
It's better than the quiff I saw of an old, YouTube clip of you years ago.
Yeah, Angela's been watching old stuff of me on the internet.
I was trying to find your new programme. I thought, I'll support Nick. He always moans that I don't listen to this or I don't watch that. So I Googled your new show, couldn't find it, and then this thing came up.
Mm-hmm.
And I
thought, 2013.
Yes, and I was like, what is that with that hair? Mm. And it was quite fun.
I don't know what happened at that point in my life, but yeah, it was enormous.
Yeah.
It's so
good
big.
Head of hair.
Today we've got a podcaster extraordinaire. Award-winning journalist and author, Elizabeth Day. She's most recently written a book called Friendaholic, Confessions of a Friendship Addict. So I really want to talk to her about friendship and what that means for her. And some of the stuff in this book really triggered me and I was like, oh, maybe I'm codependent. Not in a bad way.
No, not in a bad way.
But now I'm getting older, I like less people.
Mm.
Not in the fact that I don't like people, but I feel more content on my own, is what I mean.
But yeah, you're more discerning about it. I think as we get older...
Kind of more exhausting now.
Well, no, that's it. You have less time, you have less energy, and actually you want to spend it with the people you want to spend it with, rather than just going yes to everything.
Mm-hmm. Did you used to get FOMO when you were younger?
I've never really had FOMO, if I'm honest. My friend Nicola Sears, who's one, like, I've known her since I was 10 or 11, would always ring me when we were in our teenage years, and she'd ring up, because that was the day you had a phone. You didn't have text message. She'd ring up and she'd go, I'm going to ask you, but I know you're going to say no. That was her opening line every time. And it would be like, do you want to go to a party? Do you want to do this? And I'd go, yep, I'll go to that. Nope, not interested. And I've never, you know,
I've always had FOMO. Which I've not had it for a few years, but I always used to have it.
So no, lots of people. I know Betty has FOMO.
Does she?
Yes.
Oh, little Betty. I've met her before. Have you ever met her? I met her on Portrait Artist of the Year.
Yeah, no, I've met her a couple of times. We were out to dinner one time at the Pigs.
Mm.
And her husband, his family come from the same village that my family do in Italy.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
Bardi.
Bardi, indeed. Yeah. There you go. You know it all.
Before we get Elizabeth in, let's hear from a Dish listener. Michelle's been on. She says, hi, Nick and Angela. I've only recently discovered podcasts. Well, welcome along, Michelle. I have to say, yours is my favourite discovery ever.
Ever.
Which sounds like a compliment.
Yeah.
She's only just discovered them.
Yeah. Listen to anyone else's.
Angela, my son was living in Bermondsey last year when we treated him to a meal at Cafe Murano there.
Mm.
That was a treat enough. But then to see Angela walk through the back terrace carrying her chef's outfit, well, my excitement. Photo attached like a little schoolgirl. And Michelle has sent in a photo of her... in the foreground and in the back across the restaurant behind the counter is HRH, Angela Hartnett, working in the kitchen. And Michelle is right. She does look like a schoolgirl there.
Yeah.
She's got sort of, schoolgirl giddyman.
Yes, she
you
does.
Very much look like...
I'm cooking.
Well, a chef.
Yeah.
Really chefy. She says the cafe and the food were amazing and the podcast is a credit to all involved.
Aww.
All.
She's very nice.
She says, I love it. I love the tips. Keep going. And if it could be filmed so I could see it, it would be even better. All right, then.
well,
if you film bits of it, that's what all people say to me is,
I know.
Where can I watch it? That's all people comment.
But we can't give all the secrets away.
No,
just
we can't.
Just a little taster.
Well, thank you, Michelle, for your email.
Michelle.
That is really, really nice of you. If you ever do want to get in touch with us with a sneaky picture you've taken of Angela Hartnett, email us. dish@waitrose.co.uk. Right, should we get our guest in?
We should indeed.
Today, we have round for a lovely bit of crab. The one and only Elizabeth Day! Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, this is so fun already. I'm having the best time.
Well, we're recording this on a Friday.
Yes.
It's afternoon, and we're starting with a sensational order from yourself, Dirty Martini.
Yeah, it's just on my rider, wherever I go
now.
Wherever
she goes.
I demand a vodka martini, dirty, preferably served by a Michelin star chef. Mm. I mean, that's just me. Mm-hmm. I'm a humble girl from Epsom.
She's just this girl. Well, cheers and welcome.
Thank you for having me. Oh my God, that's so good.
Very good. Well done, Nick.
The hint of olive is just right.
And it's got to be that ice cold. Chilled glasses. Cold,
so
very
good.
Room temperature,
the
absolutely
smoothness.
Vile.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wrong this is going to be dangerous.
Really going to be dangerous.
Let's get you talking now.
I know.
But how is life? How is everything going?
Life is great. Life is really busy. And I've decided to reclaim that word. Because you know that so many people are like, oh, you're so busy. And there's an implied criticism in it. Or someone will ask how you are and you go, oh, I'm really, really busy. And it feels quite draining.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm really happy to be busy. I feel very grateful that I do lots of things that I love. And it's a positive. Yeah. And I feel like I want to own that word more. And actually, I enjoy my work. So I'm busy. And now I sound really defensive about it.
But I'm busy
and really happy. Yes. I'm good, thank you.
Yeah.
It is a funny one, that, because you do say it like, oh, I'm busy. But, you know, like you say, it's a joy to do a job.
Yeah.
Well, I do. Eat Angela's food.
Angela's making a face, being like, she's making the cutting motion across her neck.
Maybe different for you. Your job is a different type of busy, because high pressure, and you've got to perform and give stuff, people, and manage a team, and it's like
but you
every
want
night.
To be busy.
Yeah.
But I'm the same now, because it used to be a point where people would like say, oh, can you answer? I know you're busy. And they'd apologise to me for being busy. And it's like, you don't, and I'd go, yeah, but I still need to get this done. So don't apologise. You know, you have to answer. So I think there's nothing wrong in working hard and being sort of hopefully successful at it. You know what I mean?
No, and I know this is getting really deep straight off the bat, which I hadn't intended to do. But
it's a martini.
Okay, cheers, isn't it? I just had one sip and I'm off.
Go.
It's very rare for me to be talking to two amazing people who are child-free. And I am also someone who doesn't have children. Yeah. And that's been a long journey for me. And relatively recently, I've decided to be at peace with it and to let it go and to stop trying, basically, and to embrace that. And I suppose the knock-on effect is that I've got so much more space to be creative in other ways, but also that I am passionate about my work. And it means a lot to me, and potentially it means more to me, because I don't have this other outlet that I thought I wanted. I don't have that family unit that I thought I would always have.
Sure.
So that's the other reason I'm grateful to be busy and doing fun things.
No, and it should, and you shouldn't feel. I mean, there's a friend of mine who she knew at 16 she couldn't have children, and in a way, her trajectory, she's very successful at her job. She does PR and everything, but you know, there's still that ridiculous thing amongst society, you have to apologise for not having children.
Yeah.
Whereas actually you shouldn't apologise. Sometimes it's a choice, sometimes not, but it happens. So, you know, people should just, that's it, end of, you know. But
exactly.
It does feel like that.
Yeah. Or you think it's like the thing to do, like that's the norm. I woke up in a panic about it on Sunday of last week, just being like, we need to have a baby.
Yeah.
And it was like 6:45 on a Sunday morning. Misha was like, what?
Yeah.
And I don't know, because I'm 40 in August. So I think I was like 40.
Yeah.
Life.
Age, yeah.
Like I was really, and I had like family down, and we'd been to like a family party. Mm. And I think I was like really, really thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then I've been really this week thinking like, do we want them? I actually said to Sam, who's got, you know,
three.
I was like, she was like, you know, we're having a night out tonight without the kids. I was like, do I want them? Or do you think that's not? And Sam was like, it's kind of a big question before you interview Elizabeth Day. Like, maybe.
Just quickly before
Sam,
we make
real quick. do I want kids? Because I'm like, could be fun, could not be.
Be fun,
When you approach 40, for me, it was a really resonant age, because I could remember my mother turning 40, and it was like the first big birthday that I could remember my parents being that age. And so it really does like bring things into focus.
Yeah.
But I remember going through the phase that you're going through, Nick, and I remember interviewing Alan Cumming and him talking about the fact that they don't have kids, but they went through this discussion and he had asked a friend who was a parent, like, what's it like having kids? And the friend said, so you know your dog And Alan was like, yeah. And he was like, you love your dog. And he was like, yeah. And he was like, imagine having a dog who talks
all the time.
And John was like, but who talks? And I was like, that's an amazing description.
I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, my friend came round who had a kid, and she loves her child, obviously. Mm. But she's also like, wow, that's it, it's one. And she came round to ours and sat down and drank like a bottle of wine and was like, I want to smoke inside. Mm. I was like, okay. And then I was like, we want kids, and she said, just be gay in peace.
Yeah.
She said, look at this iconic house with lovely sharp objects at coffee table level. She was like, I'm smoking in the living room. Yeah. She was like, just do this.
Was she smoking a real cigarette?
Real cigarette. And she was like, look at these sharp objects. Yeah. She was like, I love them. So, yes, anyway, we'll talk about this maybe.
Okay, great. Yeah,
not during this episode of Dish, which is about you. Now, we're excited to have you on because you are someone that loves food. We have a quote here that you are obsessed with pasta. Are you obsessed with eating pasta? Are you obsessed with cooking pasta? Or
eating,
all forms?
Just exclusively.
Just the eating. Yeah. Just the eating.
Well, Justin is an amazing cook and loves cooking. His grandmother taught him to cook, and we still have some of her pots.
Yeah.
And he makes his pasta from scratch. So I'm incredibly spoiled.
Before
I met him, I used to cook more. And then I met him and I've become completely incapable. I'm just like an amoeba. Just like, just swans around the house and is fed. And and so he does most of the cooking.
That's ideal. Now, we must share our condolences with you because we heard some quite sad news that you are allergic to both oysters and caviar.
Isn't that tragic?
Yeah, really
very
sad.
Very tragic.
I'm such a woman of the people in my allergies, though.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I just...
It was very first world problems.
She's relatable in allergies.
Can I tell you how I discovered that? Because it wasn't always the case.
Yeah. Mm.
So when I first started dating Justin, we met on Hinge, mm-hmm. on the apps, and it's a second marriage for both of us. And so we've been around the block a bit. And
only one that.
Well, for him, several. And his assistant at the time, so he's a businessman, he runs his own business, and his assistant was like, she really wanted this relationship to work. And so Justin would ask her to like book restaurants for our first few dates, and she had incredible but expensive taste. And we ended up going for a lot of tasting menus, which both of us hate.
Oh, God.
We don't like long, drawn out, like just foam on every plate. Mm. And the first sort of three dates like that I went on with him, I projectile vomited afterwards, like throughout the night, and it got quicker and quicker. The gap between the meal ending and me needing to vomit got like shorter and shorter. And it was so unpleasant. But the only two things that linked those three meals were oysters and caviar.
Oh, God.
I was like, so it must be one of those.
Yeah.
I suspect it's caviar, which is awful because I love caviar. So I can live without oysters, but I love caviar.
Yeah. Delicious.
But it does make me feel a bit sick to think of eating it.
Oh, God, yeah, that's horrible. That, yeah.
It's just like a salty assault.
Yeah.
I'm a very salty person in more ways than one. But I love salt, yeah.
Are you allergic to anything, Ange?
No.
Have you ever done a food intolerance thing?
No, never.
Because my friend did a thing where she was like, worked out what she was intolerant to and what she wasn't. And then she only eats those specific things. And she's like, I can't eat a carrot because a carrot doesn't function well for me or something.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's overanalyzing it too much.
Yeah, it's a lot. But...
Is this the one who said about like not having kids? Yeah.
No, different one. No, no.
You have great friends.
Yeah, it's quite the range. Yeah. Neurotic in very different ways.
I feel like you're friends with Real Housewives. Like it's that kind of kind of level.
No, Real Housewives of Clapton. Yeah.
This looks amazing.
Angela, this looks fantastic.
Even
and smells so good.
Thank you so much.
So we're having raw shaved fennel and crab with lemon and olive oil by Julius Roberts.
Yep.
It looks fantastic. It smells amazing as well.
I'm so happy.
This does look good, actually.
It looks... Don't sound surprised.
I'm surprised. I'm just looking down.
You cooked
nice.
It.
Do you want to tell us that this was really easy and we can make this at home?
You really could, yeah. So you've got shaved fennel, chicory, mint, parsley and dill, fresh lemon juice, lemon rind, touch of garlic, touch of chili, and I've put a little bit of cayenne pepper. We've got white crab on top and underneath brown crab. I've just mixed with a bit of the vinaigrette.
Mm.
And that's
that is so good.
And you can have a little bread and butter with it if you like.
I love crab.
I do.
The cayenne pepper that's the thing that gives it,
yeah.
I just feel, it's
gives
so
it a bit
citrusy,
spice.
But it's, yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah, you need that little bit of kick.
So raw fennel and chicory could be quite bitter together. How have you managed to balance it all out so it's not like...
Well, because we've got that sweetness from the crab.
Mm.
And you don't use a bitter olive oil. You use a sort of smooth olive oil. Because sometimes you get olive oils that are quite peppery and quite strong. So use a smooth one as well. And I think, and that's why I put the brown crab meat with a bit of spice at the bottom, because that sort of balances it as well.
Do you think every household should have two olive oils then? So one peppery and one smooth?
I mean, I have a basic sort of bog standard one that I use for a lot of things, but we do have other ranges of olive oils. And actually, I'm ridiculous because I keep them all like, oh, let's keep these olive oils. And Neil just goes and grabs one that I've had for 6 months, not touched at all, opens it. I'm like, oh my God. So actually, you should use everything to be honest, but I do have a bog standard one, and then we have a fancy one to finish.
Okay.
We don't buy that especially, but we get given lots of olive oil, so always keep the fancy one.
Can I just say this butter
yes.
is so good. It's got granules of salt in it.
Yes, very good. They do a good butter at Waitrose.
Mm. Oh, and the wine pairing, what have we gone for with this, Ange?
Oh, Le Mislar Grand Cru Blanc de Blanc Brut. It's a champagne, actually. It's not wine.
Ooh.
It's a champagne, which has mineral flavours, lovely fruit, and it's perfect for seafood. It is actually very nice.
Champagne, crab, and a vodka martini.
I know, on a Friday afternoon.
Do I have to sleep with you?
No.
Because
like
I'm
that.
Up for it. It's totally up. This threesome is one I want to be in.
You're there.
All it took was a bit of crab.
Yeah.
That was it.
Very easy.
If you want to try this recipe or any of the recipes, go online, waitrose.com/dish recipes. Now, we need to talk about food likes because you and Angela are quite akin, basically, very aligned.
Marvellous. I'm happy with that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I've run through this list. You both love anything salty.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anything cheesy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Pasta fans.
Yes.
A cheese board over a dessert.
100%.
Oh, all the time.
Pinot Noir is the wine of choice.
Yes, but New World. Sorry, a New World Pinot.
Oh, in Australia, New Zealand.
I like a Californian. That's my top favourite.
Oh, no, I like a Californian. Okay, yeah, great. I'm good for that.
What's the... I know the difference is geographical, but also, you know...
Aren't they heavier or lighter? Than,
yes.
Heavier, I find the Americans.
Heavier, yeah.
But they're more alcoholic, I feel, and more
that's
hearty.
Probably why.
That's probably
why.
I feel our night's already out. Let's just go to the French house. Neil, Pinot and cheese, please. Now.
Oh, my God. Shall we just go out after this?
Heaven. Yeah.
Oh pasta God, fans.
I really started today being like, yep, still not drinking.
Yeah.
I want to see if there's anything that you guys don't agree on.
Yes.
How do we feel about the following things?
Okay. Yeah.
A Sunday evening dinner plan. Someone invites you out for dinner with a friend on a Sunday. Is
absolutely
that a no?
Absolutely not. Sorry. Yeah. My God, I actually recoiled at the idea of it.
Offended.
My caveat on that is if it's one of my core group of five friends and they come over or I go to theirs and we get a takeaway and it's super chilled. Mm-hmm. That's my, but I don't want to go out on a Sunday evening.
And?
We don't go out, but we will have people over.
On a Sunday?
On a Sunday, yeah.
Next up, garlic sauce for a pizza crust.
No.
Like to dip into...
Yeah, would you dip a pizza crust? And you don't look like a pizza crust dipper.
Well, I actually am.
Right.
Oh. But let me again give the context.
Okay. I can't believe Justin agrees with that.
No.
He's the one who got me into it.
No,
I'm sorry. Okay. I just tell the truth.
Let's say to your
not the Bardi side. Not the Bardi
baraka.
Side.
The baraka. I cannot believe he's gone to the baraka in Bardi.
What's the baraka?
It's this lovely pizzeria and had a garlic dip. I shall read
that. To be fair, it's if we...
Domino's.
If we've had a night out...
It's going so well.
And I... often what happens, like, if I do a live show of my podcast and then I come back and it's been, like, really exhilarating and I'm on an adrenaline high and we're a bit tipsy, we'll come back home and order a Domino's.
Oh my God.
The Domino's order of choice, I'm actually, like, getting...
Oh, my God, if you say pineapple, I'm
No, don't worry.
Okay.
It's a vegetarian Domino's, but with pepperoni.
Okay, yeah.
Perfect.
That could work, yeah.
So we get
that. Is it thick?
Yes, and then we'll get garlic sauce and dip the crust in. But it's a very specific context, so I wouldn't normally do that. It has to be a specific set of circumstances, and you feel slight shame the next day.
Yeah, I love the same. I'm with you.
Thank you.
Like late night, Domino's.
Oh, never had a Domino's pizza in my life.
Oh my God, police will take you.
Yes.
I've never,
why
ever.
Don't we do a YouTube series and we'll take you to like Greg's? Let's talk about Friends, because we should talk about your book, which you've read. I listened to. Did you read or listen?
Oh, I read.
You read, yeah. Friendaholic.
Thank you.
Which, I mean, it's sort of a journey of discovery. And you know, it's your story, but it definitely speaks to the reader as well. Makes you think about your own life and reflect on your own life, doesn't it?
Definitely, yeah. You analyse all your friendships in a way.
You do, don't you?
You sort of start looking about who you've lost friendships with and stuff. And it's actually... A friend of mine recently died who I went to college with, out of the blue.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. You know, and it was one of those that we were really great friends at college, then we lost touch, then we became really good friends again, then sort of lost touch. And not for any reason, but it is how life is. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you suddenly have a fallout and an argument all the time. It's just you go one way, they go another, and, you know. But it makes you realise, I think, as you're older, where you value your time. And who you value it with. I think that was the one thing I came out of that book. And I just felt like saying, Elizabeth, please value the right time with the right people.
Oh, thank you for saying
because
that.
Because life is short.
Yeah, really appreciate that. Yeah. And I think it was a real journey for me writing that book, as well as hopefully being a journey to read. And I'm still a massive work in progress in terms of recovering from my addiction to friendship. So this term, friendaholic, is something I came up with to describe a particular experience that I had, which is feeling, as a child, I didn't really feel that I belonged anywhere because I grew up in Northern Ireland. I have a very English accent. I didn't fit in. I didn't have a great time at my first secondary school. And so I became manic almost in my pursuit of friendship because it felt safer to be part of a group. But I changed myself in order to fit in rather than being accepted for who I am, which is the nature of true belonging. And so for a really long time after that, for decades, it had a knock-on effect, not only with my friendships, but my relationships, where for me, it felt like the most important thing was to work out what they wanted from me and for me to try and provide it. And that, I thought, was friendship. Mm. And I got kind of addicted to having more and more friends so that I wouldn't end up on my own, feeling like that scared school child again. And it was the pandemic that forced me to confront the fact that I wasn't spending time with the people in my life who I loved the most, who nurtured me the most. And actually, they were placing the fewest demands on me because they knew how busy I was, just running around trying to meet other people's needs. And because our diaries emptied out overnight, it made me really understand that the people I missed, the people that I wanted to spend my time with, they probably only amounted to like up to 10 people. And yet here I was trying to maintain every single friendship with every single person I'd ever met and had a connection with to the same level. And I ended up not being a good enough friend to any of them.
And not being happy, I imagine.
And being bloody exhausted.
Exhausted.
And that got me thinking about friendship because friendship, I don't know about you two, but has been profoundly important to me as well, in that it's been the longest, most consistent love of my life. It's seen me through breakups, divorce, infertility, everything. My friends have always been there. And yet, as a culture, we don't examine it enough and we don't think about it enough. We take it for granted and there's no language to express what it means to us. And so there's also no language to say, I love you, but I think our friendship has run its course, which we should be allowed to do.
Yeah, you should be honest.
Yeah,
because you can't be friends with everyone. Because if you're friends with everyone, then your friendship has no value. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because there's no discernment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really fascinating book. It really, really is.
And thank you.
I had it on, like listening to it and had it on Into the House and I didn't know Mish was listening. Mm. He was like pottering around. And he was like upstairs and downstairs and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, put it on upstairs as well. Yeah. So he had it on and he was like, so interesting. He's like... Yeah. Why has no one ever written about this before? Because
it
sounds like the title, you're like, friendaholic.
Yeah.
And then you're like, it's all about, you know, the need to connect with people.
Yes.
And then I do it and loads of my friends do it as well, where you like overcommit and you're like, I'll definitely come to your baby shower and your wedding and your birthday. And it's like, all on Saturday. And then you end up not going to one and letting people down and the journey's gone. And me, she's like, wow, it's really, really fascinating. So if you've not listened or not read, do.
Definitely, yeah.
Definitely
Thank
do.
You.
Did you think about your own friendships when you're listening to it a lot?
Yeah, I think you do, because I think you know, I've got probably 5 friends that I've known since I was 11.
That's the correct number, by the way.
Yeah.
According to Professor Robin Dunbar.
Numbers. Yeah, that was good.
But I don't necessarily see them every week. I probably don't even speak to most of them every 3 or 4 months. But we all meet on everyone's birthday, so we're all guaranteed to meet five times a year. And sometimes some of us come and maybe the odd time one doesn't. But you know they're solid. And there's and what I do realise about friendship is there's certain people you'll speak to about certain things. I don't think you always speak to the same person about everything in your life. And I'm quite a closed book. I mean, one of my oldest friends, Lara, just calls me PS. Because she'll be like, chat, chat, chat. And then it'll be like something ridiculous. Oh, the dog died. And then I'll be like, bye, see you tomorrow. And she'll be like, what? Hold on, something's just happened major in your life. Why don't you tell? And that's just me. I'm just like that.
Why do you think that is, though?
Just always being like that. I'm always more of a tell me about yourself than me talk about myself. It's just something I've never really been into.
And just got a good group of friends, though. Because I went round for like lunch before Christmas.
Yeah.
And Mish, my boyfriend, couldn't come. So everyone that was going was, of course, it was in Angela's house. Angela's friends. So I was like, I'm going to have to go on my own. Like I was six or something. And everyone was amazing. Like so great. Mm. Dead chatty and dead easy. It's a good gang.
So nice.
Yeah. Really good gang.
But then it is that whole thing about we laugh. I was making Claire laugh before. I was talking about a friend of mine who nicknames Denise. Because she always says to me, you answer your texts like a bloke.
Oh, my God.
Because I will literally be, she'll go, how are you? What are you up to? I'll go, yeah, all good.
Yeah.
And that will be you it. You know, and it was like, yes, no.
Yeah.
And so now I always do that. Hi, Denise, how are you? How's Henry? How's the dog? How are they? She's like, all right, now you're just taking the piss.
You've done ones like that where I've said to Ange, like, really miss you, can't wait to see you on Thursday. And she goes, yep. Yeah. And I'm like, wow.
Gosh.
Not yet. And then a few days later, I'll get, miss you. And I'm like, oh, forget it.
So are you good at not, you don't put kisses on, like, work emails and stuff?
Well, I do certain times, but you know who taught me not to? Robin, our mutual friend, Mr. Hudson.
Because Robin is so much.
Because I was one time, I did something, we were laughing about it. I said, yeah, I put a kiss on that. He goes, Angela, work emails? No. He's
no
very
kisses.
Like,
oh, really?
Send me an effervescent, hi, Ange, you coming over? Me and Judy, come and say, kiss, 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 Rob. Work, it's just an art, that's it, straight to the point.
Yeah.
But also, the other thing he's taught me, which I think is genius and I love to this day, is that we were all in an email thread and he goes, you can take me out of this email now. And now I do that. If I get CC'd into thing, I'm like, I don't need to be CC'd in that. So I go, take me out of this thread. Did one earlier on. Take me out of this thread.
I've also seen that one.
Yeah.
That is such a power move. I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, you've got to.
If you don't need to be in it, you don't need to be in it.
And people CC nonsense, ridiculousness.
Mm. I'm just going to start doing that even on chains that I'm not involved in.
Yeah, just email someone. One of my closest friends, Remy, who I've been friends with since I was like 22, I interviewed on a telly show. I'd just started doing interviewing. She'd just got signed to be a pop star. And we did an interview. I think it might have been her first interview or second interview or something. And then at the end of it, she was like, should we go to the pub? And we were like, yeah. And then now we've been friends for like nearly 20 years. And she lives on the next street and we have an hour long phone call every single day that drives our respective husbands insane. Because he's like, what are you f***ing talking about?
Yeah.
We're like, shut up.
I love that. It's very 90s. Like when he used to landline call your
And she's like two kids and she's busy and her husband. She's like, guys, shut up. They're like, you just spoke. He lives on the next street. She actually loves Angela.
You sound surprised. You're like, shit, actually.
Not actually. No, I mean like...
People do like me.
No, I mean, I wanted to get you in on this because you've met Remy.
Yes, I love Remy.
And the other week we went for lunch for... This is quite a funny one. For Remy's husband's birthday.
Okay.
And then Remy was going to the Arsenal match afterwards. Yeah. And the person she was going with couldn't go. So she was like, oh, I don't know who to take. I was like, probably take your husband on his birthday. She was like, no, I'm not going to take him. And I said, what about me? And she's like, no, I need someone who knows about football. So she was like, what about Ange? Oh. I was like, Ange? You've only just bloody met her. So she wanted to take you, Angela. How many times have you met her? Three times? Four times?
I would go with Remy.
Did you go?
Well, obviously, Nick put the kibosh on it. He doesn't like that.
She's like, is that a bit weird? I was like, yeah, a bit weird, actually, yeah.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, Angela.
Oh, God.
Do you think you're an introvert?
I don't think I'm an introvert. I think I can be shy on occasion.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I can be. If I don't feel confident in the people.
Yeah.
I don't... Even though I'm doing a podcast, I'm on TV, I don't strive for the attention. I do TV.
Just the money. Now, let's talk about your hugely successful podcast, How to Fail, which has been going since like 2018. Yeah. Mm. How did it come about? Because it's such a genius concept?
It was a number of things. My background was in print journalism, and so I was often sent to interview celebrities who had something to promote. I got very used to asking the usual questions and then writing it up in the usual formulaic way, where there's a little potted biography and then they talk about how wonderful it was to work with so-and-so. But any time I veered off that path or I asked them a question about a time that something went wrong, I would try and write it up, but my editor would very often cut it out. And so that was happening in the background. And then in my personal life, I felt like a failure. So I got to 38 and my 30s had been a decade of intense transition where I had got married to the wrong person. I'd got divorced. I'd tried and failed to have children and I had unsuccessful IVF and the first of three miscarriages. And then post-divorce, trying to rebuild my life, I got into this new relationship that I had much more hope for. And I felt like I've learned a lot and I've made different decisions. And I had, but that relationship ended for me very out of the blue just before my 39th birthday. And it was the lowest point, really, because at that stage, I was just confronted with the truth of where I was as opposed to where I thought I would be at that age. And I felt like a failure and I didn't know what to do about it. And I wanted to ask other people about failure and their feelings of failure and had they got through it. And I went to LA, and I tend to go when I go through a life crisis. And I went there for a month and I was listening to a lot of podcasts because I couldn't listen to any music because it was too upsetting. Mm. Apart from Kesha praying, where I was like, yes,
oh,
Kesha.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I started listening to a lot of podcasts for the first time and I listened to Esther Perel, Where Should We Begin? And I loved it. And it really made me understand that it was a space where you could have these very intimate conversations. And so that's how it happened. And I'm so grateful that it happened that way.
And I think it's such a good time when you think like post 2018, I guess before that, people really weren't willing to talk about things that had gone wrong. Mm. Or definitely not famous people being like, this was really shit.
Yeah.
Whereas now, you know, it's weird to say, but there's like comfort in hearing other people's failures. Because you're like, oh my God,
Well, it feels real and honest.
You're a donut too.
Exactly. It was that thing of, we see all these people like shimmering gods on the red carpet. But actually, they've had times of real struggle where they didn't think they were going to make it.
Yeah.
And that makes you, I hope, as a listener, feel better and feel like you can get through what you're going through too. And that was very much the kind of premise of it.
You've had incredible people on it over the years. Is there anyone that you're like, I would love to chat to them about this?
I would love to chat to Dr. Dre because I love 90s hip hop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he is someone who has made some really bad life choices as well as being a musical genius. And I think if he were willing to come and be open about the times that he did make the wrong decisions and made bad choices, I think that would be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I also love Michael Jordan, the basketball player.
Yeah, amazing.
Partly because I watched The Last Dance like everyone else
did
in lockdown.
We all did,
Yeah, and he has said some incredible stuff about failure, about training. So 99 times he'll miss the shot, but everyone remembers the 100th time he gets it. I think he'd be incredible. Gareth Southgate is someone I would love to have on.
Oh, he'd be brilliant,
because he has turned his own personal failure and being
which
an
object. Which was the penalty,
And I remember that penalty being missed. I remember it so vividly into this incredible story. I saw Dear England and loved it.
Oh, it's amazing.
Joseph Fiennes. It was so brilliant. And I'm not a huge theatre fan. Dear England was excellent.
It was genius.
I didn't even realise it was Joseph Fiennes until my mate Ross was like, Joseph Fiennes is good, isn't he? I was like, what? He's amazing.
But since we're watching a play. We come to the end of the show question in this gold envelope. Is a question for you. Should you choose to answer it, you can win a goodie bag courtesy of Waitrose. It's kind of a pitch. We're new to the podcasting world. Mm. We're about to hit two in a couple of weeks, months.
Two what?
Years.
Oh, sorry.
Two episodes.
Well, I was like, two what?
2 years. Nearly 2 years. Okay. So we want to just get a pitch in with, you know, a demigod of the podcasting world.
Aww.
This is from us and the Dish team. Dear Elizabeth, we're in awe of your success. And as a production team, we'd love to get in on the action. Here are three ideas for your next podcast.
Yeah.
Which one would you green light?
Okay.
We've got how to sail.
Yes.
How to email.
Yes.
How to eat kale.
Oh my God, amazing.
Which one do you see? Because like,
you know what?
Sail, I guess, could be like a journey through, I don't know, Indonesia with Elizabeth Day. How to sail.
I was thinking of like a former apprentice contestant because I didn't know how it was spelled. I was like, how to sail.
Well,
you meant
how to sail. We could do that. That's
how
also
to
on
sell,
there.
Yes. Yeah. Very
that
good.
Would be good.
How to sell a
yes.
house.
Yes, yes.
For me personally, how to email, because I think there's so much that you can learn from email etiquette, and you need to learn how to remove yourself from chains. Mm. And I think that would actually be a great podcast, because you could also get into the whole humour of someone who accidentally presses reply all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm going with how to email.
Yeah,
email's
much better.
All right, we've sold it. You win the waitress
goodie
bag.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah. Thank you.
That was amazing. A round of applause for our guests this afternoon.
Oh, Elizabeth. I've loved it.
That was so fun. Next week, coming around to see us is Siobhan McSweeney.
I'm still really bad at cooking for other people because of my ability to sort of relax around it.
Right.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it? Would you like it more? No, it's fine. It's probably shit. I'm just going to take the whole thing and burn it. Get out! Everyone, get out!
Details of all the delicious meals I've cooked on Dish can be found at waitrose.com/dishrecipes. All the links are in our show notes.
If you're a fan of the podcast, why not leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts?
Dish is an SE Creative Studio production.
Waitrose, food to feel good about.